Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome in to the Acadian Windows fans' first take on WWL. Acadian Windows, the official window company of the Houdat Nation. Seth Dunlap, Steve Court, and we are energy drinked up. Yes, Christian, I still have that bet for the Magnum energy drink here. I haven't forgotten about that. Welcome on into the show. It's Saints Dolphins tonight. It's show 4 out of 23, final preseason game tonight. We've got a lot to talk about most of our show today, leading up to countdown to kickoff at 5. We'll be going over these Saints roster battles. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll online at WWL.com, just going up in a little bit. Which position group are you watching the most closely tonight? A wide receiver, quarterback, offensive line, got a bunch of position groups up there for you to take a look at. We always start off with Steve Court's take of the game. Steve Court sitting across from me, former and very longtime Saints offensive lineman. Steve, what's your take today?
Jets. Let's rewind it just a little bit, because I kind of have to go over some of that. Look, I watched that game intently, and I can tell you that was what I was hoping for. I saw, the first team out there with Drew Brees. I'm not speaking offensively now. Go out there and really, six plays, and they were in the end zone. Okay, and that's sort of what I wanted to see, because that tells me that, okay, that shows me that there's not a bunch of pre-snap stuff. We're all on the same page communication-wise, and then guys are executing, guys are blocking up guys, and it was one against one. Okay. For the most part. Okay, so that part to me was good. And then, I was pleased to see Bridgewater and the things he did. I think that he's obviously come a long way in some of the things that he's done. And then there becomes sort of this matchup thing where now you've got a whole bunch of guys out there that are really good football players, and where are they going to fit on the Saints roster? And that to me is going to be sort of the trick. And I think a lot of guys are going to make or break themselves tonight, as it always is. In that fourth game, Taysom Hill again is Tarzan. He just anything that he wants to do, and he's absolutely must watch TV. Yeah, I cannot take my eyes off the guy when he's playing because of something he's going to do. He's shown a lot more accuracy to me, just because I think of his tutelage from obviously Peyton, and then being, you're going to be a better quarterback just standing behind Drew Brees and taking mental reps, being in the meeting room with him, watching the film breakdown with him, those types of things. You're going to be a better quarterback. But he's obviously shown that now, and I think that he is really sort of in that spot now to where, again, I don't want to say anything for fear of jinxing anything, but I feel good with him being in there. And obviously I also feel really good with him being in there as normal, the way we normally use him as sort of the Swiss Army knife that we always do with all different things he can do.
No doubt. And it's been obvious his progression, like you just said to me, Steve. Yeah. And I think this time last year, I thought people were too premature to get excited about his play specifically at quarterback. Now, I think everybody should be excited. Not that I'm willing to anoint him the heir apparent to Drew Brees, but I think the excitement should be there.
Seth, he's made great strides quarterback-wise, not the athlete-wise. I don't know. That's always going to be there, okay? He's a young, really obviously very, very physically gifted guy who's stronger than anybody and faster than anybody and just, able to leap tall buildings. He's kind of unique in that kind of space. But as far as the quarterbacking ability, what you would see him as a traditional quarterback from, fundamentals of the game, he's gotten much, much better. He has a much better grasp of where his receivers are going to be on the field, what the defense is, how to read those defenses, and what those defenses are going to give him. I think he's got a much better grasp on that this year than he had last year.
No doubt. That's Court's take as we get set for Saints Dolphins tonight. And our Oakwin Heart Rolex time is about 3 hours, 45 minutes before kickoff. And you can hear it right here on WWL with Zach Streif, Deuce McAllister, and, of course, our buddy Steve Geller on the sidelines. By the way, Steve, and I was told I can promote this today. I asked the you know, the people in the know. You will be introduced as the Saints legend of the game out there at the Superdome in just a few hours, man. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, look, that's they told me that. Evan Myers called me up and said that, and I was really honored and you know, immediately called my wife and said, "Hey, this is going to be kind of neat." You know, they introduced me in the game and stuff like that, and then we get to see sit with Mrs. Benson during the game in her box and stuff like that. So we're excited about it. Yeah, it's going to be fun. Yeah,
I think it's super cool. Congrats, always, man. Seriously.
Well, thank you very much. I'm always honored to have my accomplishments memorialized or however you want to say that, honored, and I'm completely humbled by it.
Pay attention to the loudspeaker I'm going to give you. I don't think you know this yet, or I don't know if I've told you. I'm going to be doing PA with Mark Romig in the Dome today.
Me.
Okay,
yeah,
I did tell you. So I'll give you a big little introduction there.
All right.
Because I know I'll hear about it. I'll hear about it if I don't
do
that.
Better.
So, Steve Court, legend of the game today. Get your ears over to the Superdome, and you can check that out today. Again, Saints-Dolphins, 7 o'clock just after it, the kickoff at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. We've got lots to come here on the pregame show, and remember, this is your show. So the phone lines are open for 2 hours at 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. Text line is 870-870. Coming up next, your calls plus. We'll go over Saints roster battles. First up, wide receiver, which seems to be the most difficult position to predict. We'll talk the rest of the offense, running back, offensive line a little bit later this hour. Steve Court, Seth Dunlap. It's the Acadian Windows Fans First Take on WWL. Welcome back to the show. Getting you set for the Saints' final preseason game. Saints-Dolphins at 7 o'clock tonight, just after it. You can hear it right here on WWL and the Saints Radio Network. We'll start breaking down Saints roster battles in just a second. But first, let's get to a couple of your phone calls. Kicking it off for us, Bill and Metairie. Bill, what's going on?
Hey, I have a two-part question. First one, if they only have two preseason games, would you have 31 penalties in an opening game? And then the second part is, in practice, do the coaches say, hey, that's pass interference, or that's holding, or do they just let them do what they have to do?
In practice?
Do they correct them?
Yeah, in practice they do. Yeah, oh, absolutely. There's times, I mean, we're always out there, and they're kind of going back and forth about, hey, that was a hold, or, hey, that was, that was no good. That's not a touchdown. I mean, they argue back and forth all the time. The offensive and the staff and the defensive staff go back and forth all the time about that.
I've seen CJ get into it with pretty much everybody on the defensive staff.
Well, look, the offensive line coach used to get it all the time with the defensive line coach about, I mean, I used to get on the defensive line coach all the time about stuff. He'd say something, to the guy that I just beat. That was good. I'm like, no, it wasn't. He wouldn't have got there. You can forget about that.
That's pretty good stuff.
Yeah. It's that happens all the time. And look, they correct that all the time. It's preseason for the refs, too. They've got to get kind of in the swing of things as well. And look, it's easy to criticize the referees, and we don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be the guy that blames everything on the refs, okay? Sometimes you get a group of guys that, for whatever combinations of reasons, are not as accurate as you think they should be. But by and large, when you look at the replays, especially if you're watching it at home, these guys are really good. I mean, they are skilled. They see stuff that is so, that bang bang thing where you just a guy's catching it, he's got both feet in bounds, but it's just It's amazing that how many times they do get it right.
Well, they are world class at their jobs. Of course, I'm somebody who typically defends the referees, but after what happened in January, I don't know. I'm giving myself about a year hiatus
There's a lot of things that we could look back and see what's going on in the world today that you sort of take a second guess about. But yeah, that was like I said this before to you. I have never seen a team as good as the Saints go as far as they have and have these two weirdest things happen in the world. I mean, one was a missed tackle and one was a blown no call.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just the most absurd thing I've ever seen. Look, we're going to be there again this year. I know we are. We're either going to be there against the Patriots or we're going to be there against the Chiefs. It's one of those two teams.
Unless, look, knock on everything I got here in the studio, unless something weird happens again in January, which we don't want to happen. I don't know.
It's almost like I'm expecting it.
I know. It's odd. And that's at least in the back of the mind, it's got to be somewhere in that locker room. Yeah. It's gone longer than that. Like, not to dwell on this, but the last five times the Saints have been in the postseason, it's been weird. You had the Beast Quake run in Seattle. Then you had this Vernon Davis, Alex Smith nonsense at the end of the game. Then you had the rainstorm out of nowhere in Seattle where it was blowing sideways. You couldn't see 3 feet in front of you. And then you had the last two postseasons. I mean, I don't know a five postseason stretch for any NFL team that's ended in more tragic ways than that.
You know, it just goes to show you, it takes really, really weird stuff to beat the Saints. I mean, think about it.
I love that glass half full look, by the way.
That's the way I am.
I love it.
Look, I'm just saying, look, this team is that good and that functional through every aspect of it, whether it's kicking game, offense is obviously just always just, and the defense has stepped up remarkably. And I think if they show the signs of the things they're doing so far this year of sort of the ball hawking skills that they have at this point of creating the turnovers, and the coaching is impeccable. So look, I get a chance to spend that time with those guys, coaching with those guys out there. And I can tell you that is a savvy group of guys. I mean, he teaches gym and he coaches football too. These guys are unbelievable at what they do.
Yeah. But let's go to Longshoreman on line two. Longshoreman, what's up?
Hey, Seth, Steve, good to talk to you, man. How you guys doing today?
Good. Yourself? Great. What's up?
I'm kind of excited to get over to the Dome and watch the first preseason game that I've been able to really come to out of the two this year. But Steve, you couldn't have said it better. What I looked for last week in that Jets game was all I wanted to see was a good sustained drive. I would have liked to have seen just a couple of more plays, but hey, I'll take six plays and go in the end zone with Drew Brees and that starting O-line and Kamara and Thomas any day. That's what we wanted to see, and that was just a beautiful drive. But as far as what I'm going to look for tonight, am I saying it right? Ozigbo?
Yeah. Yep.
Divine Ozigbo. Yep.
I'm intrigued with him. I love the way he runs, and I'm really pulling for him. I hope he can have a good good game tonight, and don't put the ball on the carpet. If you put the ball on the carpet, Coach Payton will probably send you back.
Longshoreman, that's a pretty good point. I mean, first and foremost, if you've ever been around Sean Payton, you know that ball security is the number one thing that he's always concerned about offensively with guys that handle the football. So, that being the point, look, it's anytime you turn that football over, and it's because of something that you did, as far as error-wise of not protecting it. You don't want to be that guy.
Steve Court, Seth Dunlap, Saints Fans First Take, brought to you by Acadian Windows. Let's get into some of these roster battles that, frankly, I don't know how to project. They make us do these 53-man roster projections, and, of course, some of them were kind of spitballing. Let's start with wide receiver. That's the position that everybody wants to talk about, Steve. Yeah. And I believe there are four guys that are locks now to make this roster. That, of course, is Michael Thomas, Ted Ginn Jr., Tre'Quan Smith. And now it seems like Deontay Harris. I'm willing to throw him in there as a lock. And, yes, he also plays a little receiver along with returning. The question is, how do they add a couple of more guys, probably, as they typically don't go past six at that position group? Of course, there's a realm of possibility they do, but you have Emmanuel Butler, Austin Carr, Keith Kirkwood, little Jordan Humphrey, Simi Cobbs, Cyril Grayson Jr. That's a load of talent there, Steve.
Yeah, we've got a stockpile of wide receivers, and a lot of them, if not all of them, can play. And that's kind of a, just at first blush, you know that I think Ginn and obviously Michael Smith and I think Tre'Quan is in that mix of the first kind of three there. And then I think that, Emmanuel Butler has showed so much promise, early on as to what was happening, in camp about how good he was and the things he'll do. I don't know if he's going to be able to transition that at this juncture to the 53, but he certainly might be able to get a practice squad guy. But again, these guys are good enough, and people have seen them and they've heard about them on the other teams. Look, the other teams are really smart. They've got the stethoscope the whole time. So I can tell you right now that there's not going to be anybody that we have good left that's going to be that's going to skate.
Wrapping up our discussion on the wide receiver battle on the Saints roster, then we'll get to the offensive line and running backs. I wonder, and I've been wondering for the last week and 2 days after Drew Brees made these comments, how exactly this might change the dynamic on roster cutdowns. Here's Drew Brees talking about, well, one of his favorite receivers, apparently, Austin Carr.
I think Austin has had a great camp. He continues to get better each day. I'm really developing a lot of confidence in him. There's a lot of little subtle things that he does well. You know, there's a timing and there's a feel to everything, right? It's, you know, where am I in the progression? When is the quarterback going to be ready to throw it to me? How can I get separation? How can I get open? How can I be available for him? And Austin has a lot of that feel to him, which is good. It's pretty instinctive.
And let me ask it to you this way, Steve.
Okay.
If Drew Brees goes to Sean Payton, and I'm sure they have these conversations, says, man, like that. He just explains, I really like Austin. I have a lot of confidence in him. Is he
he's
on the team?
Absolutely.
That's what I think, too.
I mean, look, he's on there. I mean, he trumps that. You know, he really does. He basically says, look, this is the guy. I really have a lot of confidence in him, and I'm developing this relationship with him. And they're not going to get rid of him.
I don't think so.
There's no way. There's not.
Little Jordan Humphrey is a guy, you and I were talking about it off the air, seems to be on the outside looking in. Yes, there's still one game to go, depending on what he does tonight. One of those guys that'll get snapped up instantly by 31 other teams, you'd think.
Look, as far as like evaluating wide receivers, I'm probably not as good at that as I am, obviously, looking at defensive linemen and linebackers and, you know, obviously offensive linemen. But I can certainly tell you that every time that guy, he's a big-bodied guy, big hands guy, every time he gets his hands on the ball, he does something with it. He makes plays with it. You know, I think he had a 32-yard touchdown earlier in the year. But my whole point is every time he does something, he does something with it. Now, again, I don't know where he fits in the mix, and I don't know what the – mental aspect of it is or how much he's caught on to it, but he must be doing something right. And I just think that he is kind of a dynamic enough player that I don't think he's one of those guys that you can let skate. I think the second you put him on the waiver wire, he's going to be snapped up
instantly.
You know? And look, Deontay Harris has done himself a world of good, you know, with his kick ability. I think he pretty much sealed the deal on him being on the 53 last week with the kick return. That kind of does it for you when you see that kind of stuff. And if he doesn't bobble any footballs, I certainly think that he's going to be in there. Now, that just leads me to think about Sherrills and what's going to happen with him. I mean, this guy has missed some time. And again, at the same time, I do you take a guy that, led the league last year, and now you've got a guy that has come on strong in camp? What do you do? How do you take that? And how do you separate those two guys? You know, I'm glad I don't have to make that decision.
I'm glad I don't either. Although with that paycheck, put a few more zeros, I'd be happy to do it, I suppose.
Well, I guess that's beyond my pay grade. But I guess if they wanted me, I could get real good at it real quick.
Right, exactly.
And I'd make a decision for you. I promise.
Yeah, no doubt. Here's a text from the 504. Do y'all think our local boy Cyril Grayson stands a chance to make the roster? I would say no, but I've been surprised many times.
Well, look, obviously he's a he's just learning football. You know, I feel good for him from the standpoint of how far he's come every practice that I've seen him. He's that much better than he was the practice before, just by the reps and sort of being around it. So the fact that he's got the skills he has as far as his running ability and things like that, he may be a guy that they sneak through and put on a practice squad.
Steve Court, Seth Dunlap, it's the Acadian Windows Fans First Take, and as Steve Court said, this guy probably showed up a roster spot.
Let me tell you, I've done every single thing that the playbook has to offer for a running back. I haven't been left out of certain situations. I haven't, you know, I've been out of the backfield, empty, doing all those things. So, and then as, you know, time get going, you know, going out there and proving I can go do those things on the field.
Punts away, Deontay Harris fields this one at the 22, makes the first miss, finds some space across the 35, the 40, the 50, just the punter to go, off to the races, 20, 15, 10, and Deontay Harris, I'll tell you what, it's looked over and over again like he was going to get one, and he finally does. I do not see any flags on the field, 78 yards, and a touchdown on the punt return for Deonte Harris.
That was last week. Yes, 78-yarder for Harris. I had a poll, Steve Court, who's alongside me here on the Acadian Windows Fan First Take, last week that I said, who's this breakout star at camp? I think 3 weeks ago it would have been Emmanuel Butler in a runaway. Well, it was Deonte Harris in a runaway when I posted that poll last week, and I agree with him.
Well, I understand what you're saying, and you know why? Because it's visual. You can see these big plays splash, and you say, wow, you know. And so you have to kind of look at the body of work that these guys have done. So I still think Emmanuel Butler is playing a very difficult position, and the fact that he is flashed the way he has so far, I don't know if you can take that away from him. I think that, okay, you got to make plays in the game, and certainly, you know, when you're a punt returner and you have the ability to do that, that's the sort of the plays you want to make if you want to be on the club. But there's all kind of different positions that you look across, whether it's defense, you know, whether you look at somebody like C.J. Gardner-Johnson, you know, somebody that's come along like that, Vince Beagle, you know, that plays, you know, the linebacker spot that is, you know, all he does is make plays. Caden Ellis, another one, all he does is make plays, both on special teams and you know, and in defense. Those, to me, when you see that kind of stuff going on, or Porter Gustin, you know, the pressure on the outside, this guy's fun to watch. He just is a ball of energy that just is flying all around the place, you know, just wreaking havoc in backfields and whatnot, you know, and just hell-bent for leather. And I think that there's a lot of guys that you're looking at that you're saying could be certainly stars of the camp. But I think you have to look at sort of the body of the work to make sure that you're giving everybody the right credit.
All right, but let's look at the body of the work on the offensive line, because this is another position group where I have a real hard time making these cut downs. So we got the five starters that there's no doubt those guys are going to make it from left to right. Teron Armstead, Andrus Peat, Eric McCoy, Larry Warford, Ryan Ramczyk. Behind them, Cameron Tom seems like he's a lock. He can play everywhere.
Yep.
Then it gets a little, well, sketchy on exactly who we think is going to make the team. There's Will Clapp. There is Nick Easton, who got this $22.5 million contract. They could cut him, but at either a net loss or basically
there's
no
Marcus
gain on the
Henry.
Salary cap. There's Marcus Henry.
And then you've got the tackles of Newhouse and Kelly.
So tell me, Steve, how this is going to work?
I don't know. I don't know if they're going to keep nine. I don't know if they're going to keep eight. Typically, they keep eight, but I don't know what they're going to do. We had this problem last year, and I remember talking about it, saying, I even told Rauscher, I said, Dan, I said, you got a problem. He said, what's that? I said, you got 15 guys in the meeting room, and you've got five starters, and then you've got about five or six other starters. And I said, that's a problem. I said, it's a great problem. And he kind of just shook his head, and he said, yeah, I know. And look, when you go out and watch practice, there is no different really at all on a lot of these players when you watch them. And that's what makes it really difficult. So not only is the part of the practice, like the one-on-one pass pro against the teams that you practice against, like the Chargers and those types of games, that they make a difference. But, you know, that game tape and the reps that you get in those preseason games are going to be critical. And that's why these preseason games are critical. And I think that, you know, you look at, them trying to lessen the number of those games. I don't know how they're going to do the evaluations correctly on players. And I think it's going to make for there's going to be a lot of guys they miss on because of that.
Do you think that they've made a decision on that spot, or are they going to use the film from this game to help make that decision?
On the offensive line?
Yes.
I would say they're going to have to use this film. I really am. I don't know. Again, it's hard for me to say that because I don't know. The guys that you've got out there are playing are not going to be our starters. I would be surprised if they even suit up any of our five guys, you know. But the other guys that are going to be there that are supposed to take their spot, they're going against Miami's second team or third team or hopeful guys. It's a combination of all those things, Seth, that you have to look at. You have to look at the game tape and how they do it. But then I don't know what's going to happen. It's got me crazy. So I know that I'm glad I don't have to make that decision again. That's going to be tough.
One thing we know, the Saints on their starting unit, their first team unit, have maybe the best bookend tackles in the NFL. Teron Armstead talking about Ryan Ramczyk as go to break.
Ramczyk is my favorite player. I've said that. He's a worker. He's a grinder. Never really hear him complain about anything. He goes out and does his job at an extremely high level.
It's the Acadian Windows Fans First Take on WWL. Acadian Windows, official window company of the Houdat Nation. Seth Dunlap and Steve Court alongside. One more quick offensive roster battle question. The running back seems straightforward. Is it Dwayne Washington over Ozigbo, as most people think, or could the rookies sneak in?
I think he could sneak in. I love his tough running style, and he's obviously a young kid. He's got a lot of juice. He brings a lot of it. I think he's definitely a practice squad candidate. But, hey, I tell this all the time. Running backs are like racing car tires. You have to change them all the time. You got to keep him close by because you know the way they get nicked. So he's on the squad, either regardless if it's practice squad or the 53, I think.
Yeah, no doubt. And he's one of those guys, I believe, that could sneak through off waivers, through waivers to the practice squad. Steve Court, Seth Dunlap, one more hour to go on the Acadian Windows Fans First Take. We'll go to defensive roster battles.
Well, I want to talk about tight end a little bit, too.
Absolutely. Okay. That's a good one. Lots of guys there. Dan Arnold. Garrett Griffin just went on IR a couple of days ago, in case you missed that.
Right.
Saints-Dolphins coming up at 7 o'clock tonight. Don't go anywhere.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.